It's a WRAL weather alert day. I'm tracking some rain in our southern counties. I'll show you when it spreads northward and when we could see some severe storms.
Also, a man faces charges after police found an AR-15 in his vehicle on NC State's campus. We're looking into why some students say they didn't know about the incident.
Viva! Viva! Las Vegas!
For the third time in 5 years, the Kansas City Chiefs get to raise the Vince Lombardi Trophy as Super Bowl champions.
Elvis has left the building with the trophy. Today is WRAL Weather Alert Day, and the rain is making its way through the triangle. I want to welcome you inside our WRAL studio. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Late this afternoon, several storms could turn severe. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at the timeline for this afternoon's showers and this evening's storms.
The rain so far today has mostly been in our southern counties, but as we get through the day today, it's likely to continue to lift northward. We'll most likely see the best chance of severe thunderstorms with a cold front that's going to come through this evening. We could see some isolated wind damage, possibly some localized flooding. The best chance for that could be in our southern counties, but we couldn't rule out any of central North Carolina being involved in that as that cold front moves through later on. This is a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar right now. Most of the rain is down to the south, and it's been that way for several hours. We're waiting on that front to move northward. We have a warm front that's going to start to spread northward and then followed by the cold front. And the cold front this evening is the one that's likely to bring us that chance of some isolated wind damage. So we have rain in Southern Pines. It's raining in Rayford as well as Hope Mills, Fayetteville on and off Clinton. We've had some showers in the southern part of Wayne County, but it's been about 3 or 4 hours where that rainfall line has been right about that same spot. So our warm front is stalled near the South Carolina line, and it will be lifting northward. We do have a severe weather threat for most of the viewing area. Again, the biggest threat is going to be the potential for some isolated wind damage. We take a look at Futurecast, and Futurecast shows this precipitation gradually lifting northward as we get into the middle to latter part of the afternoon, and you could see some rain at 5 o'clock, but it's likely to be maybe after 9 before we begin to see these clusters developing, and that's where we'd have the best chance of some severe storms. It would roll through fairly quickly between, say, midnight and between 9 o'clock and maybe midnight or so, and you can see that 100% chance of rain and the chance of some thunderstorms into the evening. We have a brand new wind advisory that was posted just recently, not too long ago, a few hours ago. Tomorrow morning from 3 a.m. to noon, we can see gusts up to 45 miles per hour and some minor power outages. I'll walk you through the timeline for those winds on Futurecast coming up.
And WRAL has you covered when it comes to tracking severe weather. When we're not on the air, you can track it all on the WRAL News app. Be sure to have that app installed on your phone. Turn on alerts to get notified about severe weather in your location. It's available for free for Apple and Android devices.
A 19-year-old Apex man is in court today facing charges of having a weapon on school grounds at NC State. WRAL Shelley Jackson joins us live on campus right now with what students are saying about all this. Shelley.
Well, Jeff, we spoke to several students, and only one student had heard anything about the incident. The other students did seem surprised to learn that that man, 19-year-old Adam Silliman, was parked here on Cates Avenue, right in front of Owens Residence Hall. This is a pretty busy street on main campus. There's several residence halls along the street. There's some athletic fields and a student union. Now, according to documents, court documents, a student called police saying they saw a rifle in a truck parked here on Cates Avenue in front of Owen Hall. When officers arrived, they say they saw a Palmetto State Armory PA-15, an AR-15 style rifle. The truck's owner said his son, Suleiman, was driving it. He met officers at the truck and allowed them to search it. They found a .223 caliber rifle loaded with 20 rounds of ammunition. Officers also found 46 rounds of 9 millimeter ammunition, but no gun. Now, the school says Suleiman is enrolled here as well as Wake Tech. He will be in court today at 1:30. Jeff?
All right. Scary scene there, certainly. Shelley Jackson live on campus at NC State. Thank you. We have breaking news out of Durham this noon. In the past 30 minutes, police shared pictures of a person suspected of stealing a flag and assaulting a protester at the city council meeting a week ago. WRAL's Noah Klein joins us now with a look back at that meeting and what happened there. Noah?
Jeff, here's what we did. We looked back at that meeting video and found this happened during the protest of the Israel-Hamas war. The group interrupts the council meeting to demand a ceasefire resolution. About 6 minutes into that protest, you see two people stand up on the seats and hold up an Israeli flag. Take a look and a listen at this video. So the woman who is holding the flag on the side of the left screen there appears to stumble, but it's hard to see because of that large banner you see on the left corner of your screen. She walks back to her seat while many of the protesters in the group look again toward the left corner of your screen where the interaction took place. Police shared these two pictures of the people wanted for assault and larceny. Investigators say the woman told police she was dragged across the floor and had some minor injuries. That being said, if you know who's pictured here, give police a call. Jeff?
Thanks for that update, Noah.
A documentary screening is happening tonight in Durham about the murder of three students in Chapel Hill in February of 2015.
So when something happens here, it does have a special significance, I think.
36 Seconds, Portrait of a Hate Crime, examines the murder of Dia Barakat, his wife Yusra Abu al-Salah, and her sister Razan. It features interviews with their families, law enforcement officers, and never-before-seen video of the accused killer's confession. The director tells WREL what he hopes audiences will glean from the film.
Without being able to tell a story like this through the human lens, it's going to be hard to change hearts and minds. And so when you stir up those raw feelings, when you don't hold back, when you fight for the truth, that's when I think we can combat hate.
A screening is set for tonight at the Carolina Theater in Durham. Also, tomorrow night, people can view the film at the Carey Theater. And another screening is planned for the campus of NC State next Monday.
This week, the Raleigh Police Department is expected to release more information about a shooting that left four people in the hospital, including one who was shot by an officer. Police responded to Rock Quarry Road just after 10:30 Saturday night when they got a call about shots fired in the area. When officers got there, they found a man with a gun. An officer fired a gun and hit that man. Police also found three other people who had been shot. They were taken to the hospital. The officers were wearing body cameras, and that footage will be reviewed as part of the investigation. Tonight, you can learn more from Raleigh Police about a new program to build an interactive map of security cameras in the city. Raleigh Police will hold a listening session about the Connect Raleigh program. It's happening tonight from 6:30 to 7:30 at Abbotts Creek Park off Durant Road. Police are asking people with security cameras to join the voluntary program. The video would only be accessible by RPD. This is the first in a series of public sessions about that program happening in the next month.
Israeli forces rescued two hostages who were being held in southern Gaza this morning. Israel's military said heavy airstrikes were used in the operation to hit Hamas targets to help with the rescue. NBC's Molly Hunter reports from Jerusalem.
This is one of the few successful rescue operations that the Israeli military is making public. So they are saying last night, overnight at 1:49 a.m., Israeli troops entered a building in Rafah. Rafah is that southernmost city in Gaza where Israel has told 1.4 million Palestinian civilians to go for their safety. It is absolutely packed, really chaotic, crammed up against the Egyptian border. Now, minutes later, to provide cover for the Israeli soldiers and the hostages they were rescuing, Gaza health officials say an incredibly heavy wave of airstrikes killed dozens of Palestinians. Some really dramatic, very terrifying video of Palestinian civilians showing up at the hospitals in Rafah and in nearby Khan Yunis. Now, the hostages, both older Israeli men, were taken by helicopter to a hospital in Tel Aviv. They were reunited with their family, and according to the military, they are both in good condition. Now, this all comes as Prime Minister Netanyahu continues to threaten an incursion into Rafah, a move that international organizations, including UNRWA, other international organizations who are on the ground in Gaza, who say there is nowhere for these people to go, and the U.S. have strongly criticized. And also this morning, deal talks appear to be closing, and we say that cautiously, but one senior administration official tells NBC News a new deal is, quote, pretty much there, but gaps remain. Molly Hunter, NBC News, Jerusalem.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, Goldsboro police reporting a 13-year-old was shot while that teen was committed a crime. With the help of Google Maps, we're going to show you exactly where this happened. Goldsboro police say they got a shot spotter alert in the 400 block of Seymour Drive. This is in the Eastern Carolina housing community. You see it right there. When officers arrived, they found this 13-year-old. He was transported to the hospital. He's currently listed in critical condition. This investigation is ongoing, of course, and no word yet and whether or not charges will be brought against the person who did the shooting. We'll continue to keep you updated here in the WRAL Live Center.
Ken, thanks. Nash County's new social services director starts today. Danita DeVega has 25 years of experience and spent the last five as the Department of Social Services director in Vance County. DeVega steps into a department that is currently being run by the state. North Carolina DHHS took over the county's child welfare services in September after a WRAL investigation into the deaths of two children in its care. WRAL has been investigating Nash County's Department of Social Services for a year now. Search Nash DSS on WRAL.com to watch our previous coverage.
For the third time in 5 years, Kansas City Chiefs are Super Bowl champions.
First and goal. Mahomes swings it. It's there! Hardman! Jackpot, Kansas City!
Jackpot in Vegas. Yeah, the 25-22 win over the San Francisco 49ers was a nail-biter, to say the least. In overtime, there were several lead changes in this come-from-behind victory. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes came through in OT, connecting with Mecole Hardman.
It's only been about 12 hours since the Chiefs' victory over the 49ers, but Patrick Mahomes already has plans.
Patrick Mahomes, you and the Kansas City Chiefs have just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do next?
We're going to Disneyland!
This is Mahomes' third time celebrating a Super Bowl win at a Disney resort. He celebrated at Walt Disney World in Florida after his team's win against the 49ers in 2020, as well as last year after his team beat the Eagles. A parade is scheduled today at 2.
Coming up next at noon, rounding up the day in politics, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is back in the hospital. President Biden is defending his age and Donald Trump's comments about NATO.
Also, $2 billion in overdraft fees. What the government is doing to limit those penalties.
Plus, classes canceled again in Durham. The group still holding out and the plan to get kids back to school.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is back in the headlines after being admitted to a critical care unit. Meanwhile, President Biden defends his age as former President Donald Trump draws new backlash from both sides of the aisle for his comments about NATO. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has it all this noon.
This morning, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin in critical care, hospitalized at Walter Reed again yesterday, this time for symptoms of a bladder issue, according to the Pentagon. Overnight, doctors saying that Austin was then admitted to the critical care unit for supportive care and close monitoring. Last month, the defense secretary faced scrutiny for not telling the White House that he underwent surgery for prostate cancer until days later.
We did not handle this right, and I did not handle this right.
Now, the Pentagon announcing the stay publicly, saying he's transferring duties to his deputy. Concern for Austin coming as President Biden is on defense politically after that special counsel's report saying he faced memory issues. A new poll finds most Americans believe both President Biden and Republican frontrunner Donald Trump are too old for another term. And though he continued to attack Biden over the weekend, Trump himself is now under fire after a wild weekend rally where the former president encouraged Russia to attack U.S. allies if they don't pay their dues in NATO.
I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. You got to pay.
His opponent, Nikki Haley, quickly responding.
What bothers me about this is don't take the side of a thug who kills his opponents.
Haley also speaking out about Trump's personal attacks on her husband, Michael, at the same rally.
What happened to her husband? Where is he? He's gone.
Haley writing back, Michael is deployed serving our country, something you know nothing about.
Donald Trump clearly doesn't understand that in South Carolina, we love our military men and women.
And that was Gabe Gutierrez reporting. The former president is at a closed-door hearing today with his attorneys where they're discussing evidence in his Mar-a-Lago documents case. The judge will then meet with special counsel Jack Smith's team. The fight over access to evidence could impact whether the former president is tried before the November election.
A new documentary premiering today looks at the first black pilots, engineers, and scientists to become astronauts. David Daniel gives us a preview of the stories that some black astronauts themselves had never heard.
Growing up, I loved the space program. But nobody doing that stuff looked like me.
The Space Race explores the history and progress of black astronauts, including former astronaut and NASA educator Leland Melvin.
It was just natural to be part of this and then to be able to interact with, you know, Ed Dwight, one of my heroes.
I was told by friends and enemies alike, you're 20 years too soon, buddy.
Ed Dwight was the first black U.S. astronaut candidate amid the civil rights struggles of 1963.
I would have made it to the moon.
One small step for man.
They were not going to let that happen.
Dwight says he's grateful for the chance to set the record straight.
All these past stories that had been put in the press to justify my not going into space.
To see a black man in space, it would have changed things.
The directors say each astronaut they interviewed told them they also had to talk with someone else.
I'm here because others paved the way for me. You need to, you know, learn their stories to understand mine. And then their goal is always to make sure that once they've opened those doors, that other people are going to come behind them.
We wanted to sit with them and hear their unfiltered emotional journeys.
Like Victor Glover, who spent more than 6 months on the International Space Station as protests over the death of George Floyd continued on Earth, prompting a call with other current and former black astronauts.
I was blown away to see all of these names pop up on the screen. Mae Jemison, Charlie Bolden, Guy Bluford.
They were all saying, what can we do for you? How can we help you?
Black history is American history. We forget it at our peril.
In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
Victor Glover has been selected as the pilot of the Artemis II mission, which would make him the first black astronaut to orbit the moon. The Space Race debuts today on National Geographic, streams beginning tomorrow on Hulu and Disney+.
Millions of people in the Northeast are under a winter storm watch as a nor'easter is expected to develop this week. Some areas could see as much as a foot of snow by tomorrow. This new round of winter weather is part of the storm system that is expected to bring severe weather into our area later today. The Northeast could also experience wind gusts up to 45 miles per hour. Let's talk of Boston. It's only had 4 inches of snow once in the last 2 years. Now they're going to get walloped again.
Yeah. No snow for us, but we're going to get some rain out of this system. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking the timing and the impacts of our WRAL Weather Alert Day.
And as this moves out, we're also likely to see winds gusting up to 45 miles per hour. That'll start late tonight and last until around lunchtime or early afternoon tomorrow. What we're expecting this evening is the potential for a few isolated cells that could produce some wind damage. It would be, like I said, isolated. We're not looking at a lot of storm energy and lift with this system, but we'll have enough that it's worth, you know, watching very closely. It is a WRAL Weather Alert Day. So far, our warm front is stalled down here near the South Carolina line. As it starts to lift northward in the next few hours, it will start to spread rain across the viewing area, but it's just been stalled. And as long as it's stalled down near the South Carolina line, we're going to see the rain sticking pretty much down here. That's where it's been for most of the morning, from Southern Pines over toward Fayetteville and Clinton and up toward Goldsboro. We're starting to see a little bit of it spreading northward up here now into Coates and Dunn over towards Smithfield, so parts of Harnett and Johnston counties, and it will continue to lift northward as we get through the next few hours. Our severe weather threat level one is for the majority of the viewing area, minus just right along the Virginia line. Again, isolated wind damage and the potential for some heavy rain certainly there. So our front is still stalled here to the south. It is likely to continue to move northward. The low itself, as it moves northward, is going to help to drag that warm front north along with it. This is the same system that is going to move northward and bring the snowy conditions to parts of the northeast. We are looking at the potential for some severe storms with this. The red shade designated area is a tornado watch. And we also have a tornado, a severe thunderstorm warning there in the panhandle of Florida. We've had some fairly consistent severe thunderstorm warnings along this front. So if we see any of those this evening, it's going to be along that cold front. But that may be fairly late in the evening. It may not start until around 9 p.m. and continue to around midnight or so. Here's a look at Futurecast. Futurecast does continue to show between now and 3 o'clock the spread of that rain northward. It looks like it's probably going to be a fairly wet evening commute around the Triangle area. And then the rain becomes a little more scattered at 9 o'clock. And then we start to see those cells popping up. And you can see where their yellow and their red splotches are. That's where we could possibly end up with a few storms that produce some wind damage. But it doesn't look like it would be widespread. Level 1 isn't widespread severe weather, just isolated. We take a look at Fayetteville, where it's been raining for most of the morning so far, and it will continue through the afternoon. 58 is our temperature in the Triangle. We're looking at warmer temperatures down south. Of course, remember, we have the warm front that's stalled down here near the South Carolina line. So 61 in Fayetteville and Clinton, but it's 52 in Roxboro and South Hill. So on the north side of that front, temperatures are noticeably cooler. But in the Triangle, we could easily climb to 62 in Raleigh, 60 in Durham, and 66 for Fayetteville. Today's going to be the wettest day. We're going to see the precipitation moving on out by early Tuesday morning. Tuesday's going to be a very windy day for us. We have that wind advisory that was just posted an hour or so ago. We'll see steady west winds at 20 to 25 with gusts of 45, which could cause some isolated power outages. And that's likely to continue all the way until around the middle of the afternoon or so. Check out that 7-day forecast looking at a mild day today and tomorrow for Wednesday. A little cooler at 58 for Valentine's Day. It'll be nice and dry. Thursday and Friday look like nice days. We're watching Saturday. Saturday's trending a little drier. We'll talk more about that as we get closer.
Coming up today on WRL News at 4, new data reveals North Carolina is ranked the third worst state for high-risk HIV cases. WRL health reporter Grace Haver talks to an expert about why the state is seeing an increase compared to other states.
Then on WRL News at 5, RPD is launching a new program to help keep watch over your neighborhood. How police say sharing your security camera footage with them can help them solve crimes more quickly. The government forbids discrimination against workers over 40, but many older workers report falling victim to ageism. What a new report reveals about the prevalence of age discrimination in the workplace.
Plus, productivity in the workplace may be down all around classrooms and offices after that nail-biter overtime Super Bowl game last night. Experts share some key advice to help you bounce back after a long night of partying.
Such a gray and dreary day here as we look live at North Hills in Raleigh. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Older workers make up a significant chunk of the workforce, but some say they feel pushed to the sidelines because of discrimination. A Pew Research Center study says that while 1 in 5 Americans over 65 was employed last year, many say they're experiencing age discrimination in their jobs. According to AARP, 2 in 3 adults over 50 think they are facing age discrimination, and 90% of them say that discrimination is common.
Three of the nation's biggest banks collected more than $2 billion in overdraft fees last year, despite reducing those fees. Regulators are now applying pressure on banks to find new ways to help customers avoid those penalties. Right now, the banking industry is preparing for a battle over overdraft fees. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau wants to limit the charges to as little as $3 per transaction. Many banks charge $35 per overdraft. Frigidaire is recalling nearly 400,000 side-by-side brands over possible health hazards. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says the ice bucket assembly components can break off plastic pieces that could fall into the ice, posing a choking risk or cutting hazard. Frigidaire's parent company, Electrolux, has received 343 reports. The refrigerators were sold at Home Depot and Lowe's. Consumers should stop using the bucket and check for model numbers and replacement information.
It was the slowest Super Bowl weekend ever at the box office. The spy thriller Argylle was number one with just $6.5 million in ticket sales. The horror comedy Linda Frankenstein was second with $3 million. Super Bowl weekend is generally slow for theaters, but this year overall, ticket sales total just 42 million. That is the lowest ever for the weekend of the Super Bowl. Amazon's Prime Video is getting an NFL playoff game exclusively next season. This comes after NBC Universal's Peacock had exclusive rights to a playoff game last month. That game between the Chiefs and the Dolphins drew 23 million viewers, making it the most streamed event ever in the U.S.
It is WRL Weather Alert Day today. This is a live look right now at Rocky Mount Mills. Our team of meteorologists is keeping you safe and dry. Elizabeth Gardner returns at the top of the hour with the timeline for us.
Plus, a new week and a familiar problem for students in Durham Public Schools, how workers and administrators are trying to meet in the middle on pay disputes. First, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers. Welcome back. It's a WRL Weather Alert Day, and let's take a live look at Wilson, where it is gray and dreary out there. Yep, the sky's looking like that all across the triangle right now, with rain falling on and off.
Certainly, and the weather, the wind will kick up just a little bit as well. More rain on the way. WRL's Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with how this could affect our evening commute.
Yeah, the whirligig park this time tomorrow is going to be something to see, because we could see some very gusty winds as the system starts to pull away from us. What we're looking at right now is some scattered rain in our southern counties, but we have a warm front that will be lifting northward in the next few hours, and that's going to continue to spread that rain northward. We have the potential this evening for some damaging winds, possibly some localized flooding in our southern counties where we've already seen a good bit of rain. We have the potential to see severe storms in any part of our viewing area, but it's more likely that we would see flooding down south because it's been raining there for hours and we just haven't seen as much rain from the Triangle area northward. Again, that's because we have our stalled front that's down here to the south. So from Southern Pines through Rayford, Hope Mills, Fayetteville, Clinton, and even up toward Goldsboro, that's where we've seen the bulk of the rain so far with this system for the last few hours. It is a WRL Weather Alert Day because we do have the potential this evening for a couple of these cells to produce some strong winds, which could cause some damage. We take a look at Futurecast, and you can see gradually this rain pushing eastward. At 3 o'clock, you can see it spreading on up toward the Virginia line, and that continues as we get through the afternoon and evening. There's 5 o'clock. We may get a little bit of a break around dinner time, and then the cold front comes through and brings us the potential for some scattered cells that could produce some wind damage. We're seeing that right there at around midnight or so. And after that, it moves out, and then the wind's really going to pick up behind it. And so we have a wind advisory that goes into effect at 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. There's a look at that wind advisory. We could see gusts up to 45 miles per hour with some isolated power outages. Coming up, we're going to talk a bit more about the timeline for the winds and when we could see everything beginning to settle down a bit.
WRL has you covered when it comes to tracking this potential severe weather. When we're not on the air, you can track it all on the WRL News app. Be sure to have the WRL News app installed on your phone. Turn on the alerts to get notified about severe weather in your location. It's available for free for Apple and Android devices.
Schools are empty of students in Durham once again as transportation support staff choose not to show up for work. More than 70% of Durham students ride the bus, meaning those mechanics and supervisors are essential to getting the school day going. They had to cancel classes today. WRL's Monica Casey is covering the impact of another day out of school, as well as the effort to make sure that kids get the meals that they need. Monica.
Yeah, Renee, we are at a church off North Roxboro Street right now where families in need can come pick up food. Multiple groups have partnered to make this possible, including Change Paths Durham, Bagging It for Kids, Duke Med Root Causes, and Duke Community Fridges. We have even seen parents and children coming here dropping off extra food to help out. With classes being canceled, there are more impacts than just education. Many students get free breakfast and lunch at school, meaning these kinds of supports are vital for them. I spoke with two teachers from Brogdon Middle School who took the time to volunteer here today.
Even though we are taking these moves to support our workers, we're also always doing this at the end of the day to support the kids. So even if we can't be in the classroom supporting the kids, we're going to do what we can. That needs to happen outside the classroom as well.
Now, today's protest was not planned by the Durham Association of Educators, which has organized other sick outs to protest pay issues for classified staff. That group put a statement on their social media saying the Durham Public School Board met their demands at the last work session. They have a meeting scheduled with the school board to work on these issues this Thursday. The school board next meets on the classified staff pay issue to make a long-term decision people are hoping for. That will be next Thursday, February 22nd. Renee?
Monica Casey, live in Durham with how the community steps up when plans change. Two people are dead, and the third is seriously hurt after a wrong-way crash on U.S. Highway 70 early this morning. It happened near Garner just after 2 a.m. Two cars were involved in this head-on crash. One person from each car died. They have not yet been identified. A boy was taken to Wake Med with serious injuries. We've reached out to police for more information.
A woman is dead after she opened fire at Joel Osteen's well-known Lakewood Church in Houston. Right now, her motive is unclear. It was a chaotic scene that unfolded during Lakewood's Spanish-speaking service. Police say an unidentified woman armed with a rifle wearing a trench coat walked inside and started shooting. A young boy who came in with that woman is in critical condition. Another person at the church, shot in the leg, is expected to recover. Two hostages rescued by the Israeli military have been reunited with loved ones. The 60-year-old and 70-year-old men were being held in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. The Israeli military says they were freed under the cover of airstrikes. Gaza health officials say those strikes killed 37 people and wounded dozens more. The pair will be monitored for the coming days.
To fast or not to fast, is it good for your health? What you need to keep in mind before you try it.
And President Biden used Super Bowl Sunday to send a message, how he used the popular snacking day to call out companies. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click report it in the WRL News app.
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we're waiting to find out the results of an NC State faculty committee vote on whether or not a no-confidence vote should be taken against the leaders of NC State. And this includes Chancellor Randy Woodson. The committee has been collecting votes all weekend to decide if a no-confidence vote will take place. Now, not all faculty is on board with this. Some believe that it's too early to place blame. But WRAL 5 on your side has independently confirmed more than 100 reports of cancer in people who've either worked or studied extensively in Poole Hall. We, of course, keep you updated as to whether or not this no-confidence vote will move forward.
President Biden used one of the biggest snack-eating days of the year to call on companies to stop a type of reduced-volume sales practice. Shrinkflation is the term used to refer to when companies offer less of their product in the bag but keep the same price. Recent report found common household and grocery items noticeably decreased in size between January 2019 and October 2023, while unit prices rose more than 20%. You have a little too much fun during your Super Bowl celebrations. Health experts are sharing some advice to help you recover after the big game. It's safe to say people may wake up Monday morning slightly hungover. To help cure your Super Bowl hangover, health experts say drink lots of water or electrolyte-rich beverages. Consider eating a balanced and nutritious meal. Take your vitamins and, most importantly, rest and recover.
Fasting continues to grow in popularity, but health experts say it should not be considered a magic formula for weight loss. Time-restricted eating is keeping your calorie intake to just one window during the day. Many people only eat within an 8-hour window. There's also periodic fasting where people look at the week as a whole and then choose one day or multiple days to either not consume any calories or consume a very low-calorie diet.
You still need a well-balanced diet. You still need to kind of be mindful of the foods you're choosing, but it can be a really beneficial rule for people when they're considering lifestyle changes.
Be sure to talk to a dietitian or health specialist before trying intermittent fasting. That's because that type of fasting can be dangerous for those with certain medical conditions like diabetes.
There's more than money on the line for the AGT Fantasy League finale.
We have eternal bragging rights if you win. We were told that.
Eternal, yeah. Tonight, the finalists will lay it all on the line. How the judges are amping up their act.
And talk about getting amped. The Beehive is buzzing after Beyonce's surprising announcement at the Super Bowl, when fans can expect to hear Act Two. $250,000 on the line tonight. That's the prize money for AGT Fantasy League.
But there's even more at stake as the acts perform in part two of the finale, which begins tonight at 8 o'clock here on WREL. And Mark Barger explains.
Winning AGT Fantasy League is not just a big deal for the finalists.
We've got 10 great acts in the final, and they're all brilliant.
We've got to do better than you've ever done.
But with each act tied to a judge's team,
I have an idea.
They have something at stake, too.
We have eternal bragging rights if you win. We were told that.
Shadow Ace is one of three finalists on Howie's team. He also has singer Cody Lee.
There are no nets!
And the head balancing duo, Ramadani Brothers.
It's danger. To be honest, this our performance is danger.
Danger is not an issue for choral group Sainted. They joined Pac Drumline on Simon's team, as well as dancer Musa Mota, an amputee.
I have an attachment to these contestants because I've really worked with them hard to get them into where we've got.
Heidi's team is represented by Daredevil's Be Unbeatable. And contortionist archer Sophie Dossi.
I am confident, but it also is a very, very brand new trick that I've literally just learned.
British roller skating duo Billy and Emily are fired up, as well as Mel B's other performer, aerialist Aiden Bryant.
Some advice that she told me was be spicy on stage and show yourself. You know, you really have to show your talent and where you're coming from.
Terry Crews already has an idea of what's coming. From the triumphant coach.
It's going to be bragging forever. We'll never hear the end.
Mark Barger, NBC News.
Contortionist archer, right? I'm in.
I mean, talk about two skill sets and then combine them into one. That's fantastic.
Wild. AGT Fantasy League airs tonight at 8 here on WREL, followed by a new episode of The Irrational. The winner of Fantasy League will be revealed a week from tonight.
Hmm. Well, you know who I'd draft on my team is a meteorologist who knows how the weather's going to be. And, of course, meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, our number one pick.
Oh, thank you.
Always.
Always.
Rain's a little slow getting here. It got stalled there, you know, along the South Carolina line. But it's, you know, it's coming along. It is a WREL weather alert day. We've had some rain in our southern counties, as much as an inch to an inch and a half already. I'll show you some of those rainfall totals. Expect more showers during the afternoon. And those should lift on up through the triangle up toward the Virginia line as we get through the afternoon. And this evening, we have the potential for a few isolated storms that could produce wind damage. It's not going to be anything widespread, but it could be a fairly messy evening commute for us. We could see some damaging winds around dinner time up until around midnight or so. Here's a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar again. Like most of the rain still down to the south. Gradually, as that front starts to lift northward, it's going to help to spread that rain up through the triangle and toward the Virginia line. We'll zoom in again. It continues to be raining there in Fayetteville. Nothing heavy, just some scattered rain there. Southern Pines, Hope Mills, Clinton into Goldsboro. We've had a little wave moving through, say, Smithfield toward Goldsboro in the last 30 minutes or so. Let's talk about how much rain we've seen so far. It's really not, hasn't been very much around the triangle. There was some early this morning when folks were heading out to work. So it's about a tenth of an inch or so in the triangle. And then you had a little farther south. In parts of Moore County, it's been close to half an inch around Clinton, about three quarters of an inch. But then you go just to a level farther south, just outside of our viewing area, and we've seen an inch and a half to an inch and three quarters, say down around Lumberton. All that's going to continue to push northward. And so in general, we're going to see anywhere from half an inch to an inch and a half with some isolated totals of around 2 inches, especially in our southern counties. Here's a look at Goldsboro. The rain's coming down there right now. In Apex, the streets are starting to dry out a little bit, and so is Chapel Hill, just because we haven't seen seen any rain now there for the last few hours. Fayetteville, though, is wet and has been wet now for hours. Here's a look at that front again. Out ahead of the front, we have a tornado watch and a severe thunderstorm warning and a lot of lightning and heavy rain. Eventually, all this is going to push up into North Carolina as that low travels north and east and eventually becomes a nor'easter that causes some heavy snow for parts of the northeast. This is a look at future cast as we get through the next few hours. By 3 o'clock, we should have more widespread rain in the triangle, and it does look like a messy commute at 5 o'clock. After that, around dinner time, or even after that, is when we'll have a few cells that pop up. One or two of these could produce some wind damage, but again, it shouldn't be anything that's terribly widespread. But we may have a slew of some warnings there between 9 and midnight. How much rainfall are we talking about total? It's not going to be a whole lot in our northern counties, probably less than a half an inch, but an inch and a half possibly in the triangle, and then approaching 2 inches in some of our far southern counties. The flooding risk has diminished most of the viewing areas out of it, just a low risk in some of our southwestern counties. 7-day forecast, mild this afternoon at 62, looking at 60 for tomorrow. And then for Valentine's Day, lots of sunshine. Remember, tomorrow we do have a wind advisory in effect. So it's going to be a very windy day Thursday. Those winds should die down a bit for Wednesday. And then Thursday and Friday look nice. Watching Saturday, we still have that chance of showers there, but the models are beginning to trend drier. It does look cooler over the weekend, but we may end up with a dry one.
Elizabeth, thank you. If you're still in the market for a Valentine's Day gift, we might just have the thing. But these very cute stuffed animals might leave you blushing. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. A 19-year-old man charged with bringing a loaded AR-15 onto NC State's campus is set to appear in court at 1:30. Police arrested Adam Suleiman Sunday. The arrest warrant said he was parked on Cates Avenue near Owen Hall. Court documents say a student called police after seeing the rifle inside the truck.
We're also expecting to learn new information from Raleigh police after a shooting that sent 4 people to the hospital, including one who was shot by an officer. Police responded to Rock Quarry Road just after 10:30 Saturday night for a shots fired call. They arrived to find a man with a gun and 3 other gunshot victims. Police are not releasing detailed information about what happened next, but we do know an officer shot one of the men.
No classes again today for Durham Public Schools. The school system says it's because of transportation staff absences. It's the 4th time schools in Durham have closed in 2 weeks. Athletics and after-school extracurriculars will still operate as normal. Today is a work day for teachers and other employees. When it comes to the big plays, a star-studded crowd and the nail-biter game, Super Bowl 58 did not disappoint. Neither did one commercial that has people talking.
Broke the internet again.
Oh, it's coming in really fast.
Yeah, it's Verizon 5G. The network is crazy powerful. I bet you can't break that.
Bet I can.
Wait, what?
Beyonce announced new music after teasing some of the songs in her Super Bowl Verizon ad. The new country-themed era, referred to as Act 2, follows her Renaissance album that came out in 2022. To celebrate, Queen Bee dropped 2 songs titled Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages on all streaming platforms. Act 2, the album, will be released on March 29th.
Who says Build-A-Bears are just for kids? This Valentine's Day, the plush toy company has a new line of After Dark teddy bears for your someone special. Now, Build-A-Bear rolled out this year's adults-only stuffed animal line. It features bears, lions, and bunnies in heart-shaped pajamas holding bottles of bubbly. You can even customize the gift further by using the Record Your Voice sound chip while building your new furry friend. The new After Dark collection can be found online.
Maybe you'd rather cuddle with a real animal. Our pet of the day comes to us from Love Mutt's Rescue. Dewey's blue eyes will dazzle you when you meet him. Look at that. He's a 3-year-old Husky Labrador mix, weighs almost 50 pounds. He loves being spoiled by his foster, loves to sit in the family's lap, especially if he gets his belly rubbed. If you want to meet him, contact lovemuttsrescue.org. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can also get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Keep it tuned to weather today. Have a great one.
Stay safe with the latest WRAL weather alert day info. Get up to the minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.